He is not happy when God provided for other people. So who is Jonah? Jonah is supposed to be a prophet. Jonah is supposed to be a man of God. Jonah is supposed to be the man who called people from wrong to right and from death to life. It's all described in the book of Jonah. He is supposed to be. When we look at ourselves, none of us would say we are like Jonah. We are born and taught to love thy neighbors, love righteousness and hate sin. Rejoice when one leave evil and enter into goodness. Then what kind of prophet is Jonah? So many of us growing up in a Christian family, Noel, did your mother tell you that you have to love your neighbor or hate your neighbor? She didn't say, I'm not sure. I have to ask Noel. Nona, okay. Love righteousness and hate sin. Rejoice when one leave evil and enter into goodness. But Jonah is none of that. Jonah is not our everyday ordinary prophet like Hosea, Amos, or Micah. Yet he has one common feature among all other prophets. He did not prophesy by word alone. He prophesied by his very action. Right? When Hosea prophesied, he married a prostitute. When Jeremiah prophesied, God told him not to marry, and he stayed single. So, who among us is named Jeremiah? Or Jeremy? Be careful. Jonah also prophesied by what he did. Only that he prophesied something very different. A prophet has a message, and Jonah also has a message. At the beginning of last month, I mentioned the fact that the book of Jonah is not about Jonah. The book of Jonah is about the prophecy of Jonah. Today, I would like to turn our eyes upon Jonah again. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. We thank you for today. This is Thanksgiving. And we can see through the life of an unthankful man, Jonah. And Lord, we ask you to help us to see through Jonah and his life, so that we may learn to be thankful. Lord, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah, who is the prophet of Israel, is a representative of the Israelites. Israelites are known as the chosen, the firstborn of God. All through history, Israelites are among the most virtuous and morally superior nation among the nations. Even though some of the time when we look at prophets and the book of prophets, we find all the Israelites were sinning, and they were punished by God. But still, they are morally superior than the other nations around them. The law governs the nation's behavior better than her friends and foes. Even though the prophets condemn much of their doing, most kings, save a few, were not extremely immoral. Most often, their gravest sin is leading the nation to worship in the altar not sanctioned by God. That's not really worshiping God, but some ambiguous deity. There are times when they sin and worship idols. They will still come back to God and make sacrifice, atoning the sin by offering excessive amount of sacrifices. In Micah 6, the prophet Micah described this excessiveness in the following words. Oops, Thank you. Look, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offering, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take light in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruits of my body for the sin of my soul? Look at verse 7. Delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil. This is the offering they are offering to God, which is really excessive. But they offer them to God, okay? They were not offering all these things to the idols. They are offering them to God. So they were idolatrous. They were adulterous, but they will make it up with God. They try to, at least. The Israelites sin, all right, but they are also conscious of their sin and their identity as God's favorite son. This is where Jonah came in. In the book of Jonah, the foreigners, sailors, and kings of Nineveh utter uncertainties when they encounter God. The foreigner captain appealed to Jonah to pray to his God, said, "Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us so that we will not perish." Okay, look at the red letters. "Perhaps your God will be concerned about us." The foreigner captain were not sure who God is and what God can do. So come pray, perhaps your God can help us. Then the king of Nineveh repented and prayed to Jonah's God, said, "Let man call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked ways and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger." Those foreigners were unsure if God will punish them or save them. But Jonah knew so well. When the captain asked him about the cause of the storm, he replied, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that on account of me, this great storm has come upon you." Jonah knows. Jonah is so certain about God. He knew exactly what God was doing. He knew exactly why came the storm. He knew. He was very sure. When he talked to God or argued with God, again, he was very sure, for he said, "For I knew that you are a gracious God and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. For I knew. The crucial point here is that he was right. Every time he said it, he was dead on, correct. Now, this is a prophet who knows how God feels and how God does. Especially when Jonah argued with God in chapter 4, his quotation is exactly a quote in Nehemiah, Psalm, and Joel. In order to save time, I just read you the Joel passage. Take a look at the Joel passage, comparing with the Jonah passage. "For he is gracious and compassionate." And Jonah said, "You are a gracious and compassionate God." Joel said, "Slow to anger." And Jonah said, "Slow to anger." Joel said, "Abounding in loving kindness." And Jonah said, "And abundant in loving kindness." Joel said, "And relenting of evil." Jonah said, and one who relents concerning calamity. What it means is Jonah was quoting but from the prophet, quoting from the Psalms, and quoting from the historical books. He was so familiar with the Bible. He was very familiar with the Bible. This is a man using a Jewish tradition, a Jewish wisdom, and God-given teaching to address God. He was definitely not ignorant. This is a man who knows God. But why did he rather take his life from obedience? Isn't it intriguing? I know God. But I make a conscious decision to say, God, I don't want to do it. Before we answer this question, we can turn to another story. Another parable, we may appreciate Jonah more. We can turn to the Gospel of Luke and the parable of the prodigal son. We shall not read the whole parable. The idea was that the prodigal son went away and spent half of his father's fortune and went broke. Then all hell broke loose, so to speak. There was a famine at the place he went. Then he was hired by an exploitative master. Because there was a description there. He would like to eat what the swine ate. And yet he could not. I don't know. Maybe the master was counting the pig's food. So that if he gave the pig a little bit less, he would be punished. A very exploitative master. He finally came to his senses and decided to go home to his father. His father did not scold him or punish him. Instead, but the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. So, this is what happened with the prodigal son. Is there any similarity with Jonah's experience? Suddenly, nothing, no punishment. The Greek city of Nineveh repented. Remember, after Jonah has proclaimed the prophecy, he went up to the hill, to the east side of the city, and he was sitting there. What was he doing? What was he doing there? He made himself a shack, right? And then sat there. And he must have sat there for a long time, remember? In 40 days, this city will be destroyed. So, how long did it take to walk through the city? 3 days. So he has 37 days to left. So he sits up there for 37 days, and then nothing happened. So I think he might be thinking, okay, now Lord, I know you are so good, okay? You are compassionate, you are gracious, you are a compassionate God, okay? We just kill half of them, okay? And I may be satisfied. No, okay, maybe just one third, okay? Half is too many, maybe one third, okay? Nothing happened. Okay, just kill a quarter of them, okay? The wicked people, just a quarter. No. What about just one-tenth? No, nothing happened. Jonah was sitting there for 37 days and looking for something happen. Nothing has happened. That really angered Jonah. And also, with the Lucan passage, it also puzzled the older brother, and he was furious. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him, but he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. What has this older son do wrong?" "No, nothing. He did everything right. He knew his father's desire. He did good. He obeys his father's command and pays his best effort." Luke described, "Now this older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house." Now this older son was in the field. Obviously, he was not playing hide and seek in the field. He has just finished his day's work, sweating and bleeding. He blurted out to his father, "Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat. What has Jonah done wrong?" No, nothing. He did everything right. He studied his law. That is why he can recite the law and the Psalms, the prophets, as well as the writings. All three parts of the Bible, which means these verses are from all over the Old Testament Bible. He was a prophet who prophesied in the 8th century BC. His deed was recorded in the Jewish history, the 2 Kings, the 2 Chronicles. He was the Old Testament version of the older son. Just as the parable of the prodigal son is not about the prodigal son, it is about the loving father and his older son. Sinners is everywhere. We know it. Everybody knows it. Sinners is everywhere. But what about those people who do not believe? They have sinned enough. They are good enough. The book of Jonah is not about the veil nor the people of Nineveh. It is all about the loving God and Jonah. Jonah believes he deserves God's mercy, but he is not content with God's mercy. He understands his God, yet he has his ply of better than thou. Why should he be treated the same as the people of Nineveh? If God saved me, it's all right. I deserve it. If God gave me the plant to shield me from the heat, it's all right. I deserve it. But what about the people of Nineveh? They don't deserve it. They don't. These people ought to die. I am better than they. This is prideful and this is self-righteous. So often we believe we are better than whoever and whatever. We deserve better because we are God's children. We deserve better because we belong to God. We are better because Jesus has saved us. You know, this is a myth. This is a myth that Christians are better than non-Christians, so that when non-Christians look at Christians and they did something wrong, they said, "Oh, Are you a Christian? You did that? All of us know this is a myth, but yet we believe it is true ourselves. We believe we are better. Look at Jonah. Who is more lovable in the book of Jonah? The foreigner sailors? You know, the foreigner sailors, the captains of the ship, when they were about to die, and Jonah requested him to throw him into the sea, and yet, the captain, what did the captain do? No, he did not throw Jonah into the sea. They tried hard to get the ship back to the shore until the time they really could not do anything. And Jonah said, throw me. And actually when they did it, they were not happy. They were not happy. That's why they pray. We did not want to do it. Don't let the blood count. These people are a whole lot more lovable than Jonah. So when Jonah proclaimed the destruction of Nineveh from the king down, everybody repented. And this is a very interesting description here in the Bible. Even the animals repented. Now, of course, this is, how could animal repent it? I don't know, but that's what the Bible said, okay? So it's telling something. It's telling these animals, they were actually better than Jonah. Even the animal repented. But Jonah, this is a way of saying it. Who is more lovable? But God has been very patient with Jonah. All through the story of Jonah, the repentance of Nineveh only took a few verses. All four chapters are all about Jonah. How he ran away from God. How he finally, God caught up with Jonah. And how God saved him from drowning. And how God saved him from the big fish. And how God saved him from the blistering sun. All these stories are about how God deal with Jonah. God loves even Jonah. It's not God loves even the Nineveh people. It's God loves even Jonah. If we would have a Jonah among us, this is not a very lovable guy. He may speak tongues. He may be able to prophesy. He may preach like a Billy Graham, but we won't like him. Yet among all these, God still loves us. In your eyes, is Jonah better, or the foreigners he detested were better? Our ugliness is because we know so much about God. The worst part of Jonah is because he knows God. Yet, he do not really know God. If God did not give up on Jonah, he will not give up on anybody. The past few weeks, has not been a very good time for planet Earth. Yes, the nature has been very cruel to planet Earth. Japan has gone through a lot of disasters, natural disasters. Like any good Chinese, I don't like Japanese. Okay? Kidding. I'm kidding. No. So, should I be happy? No. Disaster after disaster. With the tsunami in 2000, the Indonesian government should have learned a lesson. But some of the pre-warning system did not work, and some of the pre-warning system did not exist. So a lot of people die by nature and also by human. I don't know whether I should say error. The political scene down south was very ugly for the last week. I don't care if you are conservative or liberal. Both sides are really ugly. Should we be thankful for all these events? No. We are not thankful for all these events. We just pray to God and thank God, not because we were not affected. We pray to God and we thank God because we still believe God is the Lord of this whole wide world. Even albeit our ugliness, He is still gracious. And He still has His abundant loving kindness towards us. It doesn't matter if it's to the Nineveh people or to Jonah. Yes. The Lord is still here. For the Lord is good and His loving kindness is everlasting. In this day of Thanksgiving, let us give thanks to Him and Him alone. Lord, we thank You for today. We thank You for the book of Jonah. For in the book of Jonah, we know You are the Lord. We should be really thankful to because of who we are. We do not deserve it. But yet, Lord, You do not give Your grace to those people who deserved. But You are gracious to every single one of us, even Jonah. Just because we do not deserve it and we cannot obtain it and we have no right to have it. Your loving kindness lasts forever. And we thank You. And You're still here among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.